So I think a perfect case to get into this is your 29-year-old man. You want to talk about him?
Sure. So I'm caring for a 29-year-old man. He's a student in the business school, and about 9 months ago, he presented with chronic phase CML, the typical P210 transcript. Platelets 480,000, his white count was 193,000 with the typical left shift and basophilia and eosinophilia. His marrow was consistent with chronic phase CML, and he was started on nilotinib 300 BID. At 3 months, his quantitative RT-PCR was down to 2.3%. Our lab did go to the international standard a couple years ago, so this was reassuring that he had achieved early molecular response. He's been tolerating the drug very well, but we haven't made much progress beyond that. At 6 months, his quantitative PCR was 1.7%. At 9 months, it was 1.3%. And I just saw him for his 12-month visit a couple of weeks ago, and it's now 1.1%. We did, with this one, send off an Abl kinase mutation testing assay. He's not taking any other medications. He seems like real on top of his disease, and so he says he's been adherent, he's been taking the drug. So he had a very rapid molecular response, cytogenetic response, but he just has not gotten to the major molecular response level, to the 3 log 0.1% PCR that we'd like to see, and we're a year into this now. So what should I do?
I want to get the input of all the faculty on that question, but just a couple points. How's he tolerate the nilotinib? Any issues at all?
He's been doing quite well with it. He's had a little bit of anemia. There have been no vascular events. He does take a baby aspirin a day. You know, we worry, especially with ponatinib, but also with nilotinib, about the risk of vascular events.
And what prompted you to use nilotinib as opposed to dasatinib or imatinib?
So that's a great question. What should be the initial tyrosine kinase inhibitor chosen? You know, there are several studies, SPIRIT-2, which was updated fairly recently, the DASISION trial, which compared dasatinib and imatinib as initial therapy, and ENEST and D, which compared nilotinib and imatinib as additional therapy. And each of these studies showed more rapid and deeper molecular responses with the second-generation tyrosine kinase inhibitor, a slight decrease in progression to accelerated phase and blast crisis, but no difference in sort of progression-free and overall survival. So personally, I tend to individualize choice of a TKI based on a number of different factors. Nilotinib requires twice-daily dosing. The other two are once-daily dosing. So somebody who has difficulty remembering to take pills, maybe nilotinib's not the best choice for them. I care for a patient with CML who has tetralogy of Fallot and has had multiple cardiac surgeries. She has chronic pleural effusions. You know, dasatinib's not a great choice for somebody like that because of the pleural effusions, the pulmonary hypertension. So, and then a huge issue for patients is cost, because these are oral medications. Patients often have a significant copayment. And imatinib is going to be the first one to have a generic alternative. And I think that's going to be a huge driver of drug choice in the next
year.
So it's going to be later this year.
I just want to clarify, in this specific man, what prompted you to use nilotinib?
In this specific man, it was because nilotinib was preferred by his insurance company.
Really?
And because he was good with twice daily dosing. In addition, he's a young man who had a higher Sokal score, higher Hassford score, and that's the group where in the studies that have been done to date, they had the most benefit from a second generation TKI.
Do you know what his copay is, incidentally, on this?
He pays about $50 a month.
And if, for example, imatinib were generic and markedly less costly, would you have thought about it for him?
I probably would have.
Even being higher risk?
I think that's a tough one.